Welcome to Conversations with Val Marie. May you be blessed, encouraged, and inspired. And now, here's Val Marie.
Hello and welcome. I'm Val Marie, coming to you from Studio C at Ray Radio. Thanks for joining me today. And I'm so excited about my guest today. Her name is Kelly Stigliano. She is an author and conference speaker. And let me tell you, this lady has risen up above some hurt and pains. And she's going to share that with us today. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here, too. What'd you think about that song?
I loved it. It's so true. With Christ, we can rise.
Amen. Sometimes we think we can't because we're so focused in it and you feel like you're drowning a little bit.
That's right. And it's important to remember that we need to run to Him, not from Him, if we really want to rise.
You know, that's so true because I know sometimes when people are going through a tough time, even in church, they want to isolate themselves.
That's right. And that's never good.
So, Kelly, as I said before, I'm real excited you're here and I know you have a testimony to share with us. But before I get to that, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a transplanted northerner. I'm originally from northeastern Ohio, as is my husband. We're slowly slipping south, state by state. I think we're going to end up retiring in Jamaica if we keep this up.
Oh, goodness.
We live in Orange Park, Florida. We are a reconstituted family. So between the two of us, we have four sons and one daughter, five children.
Oh, beautiful.
They're all adults, and we have one son-in-law and a baby granddaughter.
Wow. And let me just say, you really don't look like you're past 30. So when you were telling me earlier that you have a daughter that's 31, I got up out of my seat and said, let me look at your skin. You look amazing.
Thank you.
Now, I want to say hi to your husband. What's his name?
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry, if you're listening. Now, share with us your testimony. I know God's done some wonderful things in your life.
Well, I was a rebellious teen. I grew up in a small community in northeastern Ohio. Our only minority were Amish. There weren't a lot of things to do. And so, you know, what do they say? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. So it didn't take long before I was into all things in the world. It was very fascinating for a while. Like the Bible said, sin is enjoyable for a season.
For a season, right.
Right. And I found myself pregnant, unmarried, and 18. And then I got married. That was like a mistake because although I don't regret it because through that marriage, I had a beautiful second baby. The marriage was fraught with violence.
Right.
It was a marriage of disparage, as I say. And through the violence, I withdrew. I came farther and farther away from any sort of Christian upbringing I may have had. And it took one extreme time of violence for me and my son, my 2.5-year-old son, to fall apart for me to realize that I really needed to just get out of that situation.
Now, when you were in that situation, did anyone know?
I think so. I think looking back, there were several times when people had to have known, but no one said or did anything.
And were you trying to hide the fact that you were in this abusive marriage?
Absolutely. He was very charming. He was handsome. And I went to a family Thanksgiving dinner with my hair over my eye, trying to cover up a black eye. So yes, I did try to hide it.
Did you make excuses? Like if someone said, oh, what happened to you, Kelly? Did you kind of like brush it off and try to make an excuse for it?
Yes. I said I fell in the bathroom.
Wow.
Which in that particular case, I actually had fallen in the bathroom, so I wasn't lying, but that's not how I got the black eye.
Right. And you said he was charming.
He was. He was tall and handsome, and he had blonde curly hair and big blue eyes, and he was very charming.
So you said there was an incident that happened, and it was like you knew that it was time to
right.
get out.
Well, I had stayed with him up to that point because my two babies, and for them, right. I need to stay with him. But in this one particular time, we were fighting in the bedroom. The children were in the living room watching television, and he took my great-grandmother's mirror. He threw it across the room, and it smashed into the wall. And somehow, I ended up out in the hallway. I was on the floor, and he was kicking me. Crash brought my children's attention to us, and my 2.5-year-old son came running down the hall screaming hysterically, "You kick on my mama! You kick on my mama!" And I realized when I saw him fall apart like that, that for the children, I had to get out of there.
And I'm sure for you to hear your babies say that.
That was very difficult. And it was actually the first time that anyone had ever confronted him for his abuse. And he really couldn't take it coming out of the mouth of a toddler, and he ran out of the apartment.
Wow. And so what happened after that?
Well, I don't know why my parents would have believed me because I had left him and come back so many times, but I called them and said, I'm leaving him. And again, they came to help me move out and they bought the children and I a new mobile home out in the country and we moved and my husband moved to Phoenix, Arizona and I started the divorce proceedings then.
So wait a minute, you had been through this before where you called your parents that came to help you and...
A few times, yes. And I, as a matter of fact, one time I was living in Phoenix, Arizona with my babies and I called my dad at work and I said, this is a matter of life and death, the babies, and I need to come home right now. And in 20 minutes, the airplane tickets were waiting for us at the airport because my parents also loved us unconditionally.
Wow. Again, if you're just joining, this is Conversations with Val Marie. And my guest today is Kelly Stigliano. She is an author and conference speaker, and she's just sharing her testimony about an abusive marriage that she had many years ago. Now, when was this, Kelly?
79 through early 80s.
You still look so young. I just can't believe it. But anyway, So you said you moved away, and even though you moved away, were you still kind of living in fear?
Very much so. Having him 2,000 miles away did make me feel a little bit safer. But I went through all of the things I think is the things that are normal for a woman who's been abused, you know, triple locking the doors at night, checking all the windows several times at night, checking on the babies throughout the night several times.
And you said that you can't believe that your parents believed you when you called, but I'm sure they always kind of wanted that call because I'm sure they were really concerned about you.
They had high hopes because when they accepted us back from Phoenix, Arizona, I was very broken physically and my daughter had a black eye. And so for them to think that I would go back with this man, but he always said he changed and I wanted so badly to believe that he changed. I wanted so badly the happily ever after that every little girl dreams of.
Now did that black eye on your daughter come from your husband as well?
Yes, he backhanded her.
And when he did that, did you try to protect her or were you afraid?
That was the first time of, well, actually, I only attacked him twice. That was the first time I ever attacked. I jumped on his back and said, you can't hit the babies, you can't hit the babies. And I really believed it would never happen again. Well, actually, it never did happen again after that. He never struck the babies again after
that. Now that you have been through that, and of course the Lord has healed you, how long, Kelly, did that healing process take for you?
Well, I had nightmares for quite a while. As a matter of fact, when I remarried on my honeymoon, I had a nightmare. It was very embarrassing because here I am with my new groom, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night in a sweat, crying, and he's probably thinking, dear God, what damaged goods have I just bought into here? But he prayed for me, and it never happened again.
That's really amazing. So that healing process, did it take a few years for you?
It did. It took a few years for me. I still have, you know, a few physical scars. There is something, I have this, one of my bottom teeth are chipped, and every 6 months, when I go to the dentist, they always try to get me to have that fixed. But I can never get them to understand, I don't want that chipped tooth fixed, because to me, it's a symbol of God's goodness. Now, how can a chipped tooth represent God's goodness? But to me, it represents, I lived through that, and God got me out of that. So that's one little thing I kind of hang on to, but I don't see it as a wound or damage. I see it as almost a badge of honor of God's goodness.
Now, I know, like, there's things that I've been through, and, you know, I've been through abuse, and I've talked about that before with my audience, and used to be shy and timid and all those things. But sometimes when I see a woman, I just know that they're broken. I just know something's not right. Do you tend to have that same discernment when you meet a woman? Do you kind of just know?
Yeah, unless she's like a super good actress,
right,
and should win an award, there's really something there, a broken spirit or something that you can identify because you have a kinship with it.
Right, right.
It may be just verbal abuse, but those right. are the scars that don't show. That's still
right.
abuse.
Absolutely. And those are the ones that even linger, because how many people when they're not doing something in life today, or they didn't become something or didn't pursue their dreams, and they would say, well, my mom said I would never be able to do that, or I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't the pretty sister, so I couldn't pursue that line of work. And it's because of words. And there, I think, are even more damaging, because those other scars will heal in time, but the words, you just remember them.
Right. The Bible says the words can lift up or tear down, cause life or death. And I think it's so important, especially when we talk to children, that we really need to purpose that our words will bring life, because our words will carry on to generations that we will never even meet. And it's so important that our words lift up and not tear down.
When you moved to Arizona, you had your two kids now, and you said your parents got you a home. Did you now feel like, okay, we went through so much pain and hurt there that I really need to step it up for my kids? I really need to make their life new for them now. As a mother, what did that do to you now being on your own with your kids and not having that stress and that fear?
Actually, when we first came back from Phoenix, Arizona, the Reagan administration was then, and I got into a summer work program where I learned that I was 21. I was the oldest youth in the summer youth program. And I realized that I had no skills marketable enough to, you know, support my new little trio, just right. The kids and I. So again, through the government, I was sent to a business school, and I learned secretarial skills. Word processing was a brand new thing.
Yeah,
and,
you absolutely.
Know, so I learned on the TRS-80. And so then I went out and I got a job, and right at the end of business school, when I was just ready to really jump in, because I had gotten some of my self-esteem back, I was feeling like I could do this, I had self-confidence, then I came home from business school one day, and guess who's sitting on my doorstep? My husband. And I believed him again that he had changed,
oh,
you know.
My.
Independence is tricky. Just when you think that you are strong enough and you can do this on your own, it's a slippery slope. And I fell back, and I found myself being controlled again. So I went from bad to good to bad, because I didn't quite have the strength that I thought I did. That strength, the true strength, comes only from Jesus Christ, and I didn't have him as my savior at that time yet.
And do you think that you kind of reconnected with him, because you were saying that you were broken and all, and although you thought you were independent, did you have a feeling like no one else will ever want me, so I might as well make him work?
Well, you know, it was always because he was the father of my babies. Because when they saw him, they were excited. They're not adults. They don't know the whole situation. But
right.
It's hard not to, you know, buy into their zeal and their exuberance. Because although he had hit my daughter, children are very forgiving.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, it was Daddy, you know, and it was exciting for them. And he came with all kinds of promises for me. And I just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
And how long did that last?
Probably just over a year. We had gone to like three apartments through that time, and it was that third apartment when Alex, my little son, fell apart like that, and that's when I realized this, I really have to get out of here for good, and that's when I made the final decision. I finally broke loose. And that was the time when I was leaving. I was packing to go, and my parents were going to come, and I guess that morning he decided I wasn't leaving, because he strangled me with more fervor than ever, and something came over me. That was the second time that I actually fought back. And I don't know, it was like I was standing back and watching myself, like something came over me. And I really fought back. And that's when I realized why women kill their husbands. And Satan didn't want me to leave a marriage of disparage that would ruin the future of me and my children. But something came over me and gave me strength to fight back. And I was physically able to push him away. And that was really a turning point, because I found a strength. And like I said, I realized why women kill their husbands. And you don't kill your husband. The way you fight back is you grab your babies and you leave. That's how you fight back. Don't grab the frying pan, the knife, or the baseball bat, or the gun. You don't do that. You just get to a safe place. That's how you fight back.
And so once and for all, you left that day and never returned.
Right.
Never fell for it again.
Almost fell for it again. Almost did one time, but I had just met Jesus. And he gave me the strength to not.
Again, if you're just joining, this is Conversations with Val Marie. And my guest today is Kelly Stigliano, sharing her amazing testimony. And you just shared with us, Kelly, about how you got away from an abusive marriage once and for all. You made up your mind. You tried and tried and tried and tried many times, and it didn't work. And you said you almost went back, but you met Jesus. Tell me about that.
Well, I was working as an assistant dispatcher at a trucking terminal.
Wow, I can't see you doing that.
I know. I went from the corporate headquarters in downtown Cleveland to this little place out in the country because it was closer to my home. But it was a good thing. I was invited by my neighbor's family to, actually, I was kind of tricked, actually, more than invited, into a Christian women's retreat.
Oh.
Yeah. And when I was there, I was watching these other women. They were Christians, and they weren't at all like me, but they were having fun. And I wanted to be like them. And I knew they had something special. So I left one of the sessions during the day, and I went up into the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Columbus, Ohio, to my room, and I knelt down on the bathroom floor. And I told Jesus how I couldn't do this anymore. I was not happy. My kids were not happy. I was done. And please just take over every part of my life. And he did.
Wow. And you've been walking with the Lord how long?
Maybe 26, 27 years.
Wow. That is an amazing story, and now you spend your life encouraging women and sharing your testimony. What is something that you would say to that woman who is in that abusive marriage right now, and she's just feeling like she's nothing, she's nobody, who even cares about her?
Well, Jesus cares about you. And there are plenty of scriptures in the Bible that say not to be with people who have bad tempers. And I understand that God hates divorce. And that's true. And his ideal plan is for a marriage to last forever and for children to have both parents there. I get that. But I also know that Jesus doesn't want you to be abused. And this is having a lasting effect on your children, whether you realize it or not. So it's good to just find someone that you can talk to. Go to the Salvation Army. Go to your pastor. Go to your pastor's wife. Go to your parents. Go to somebody, but tell somebody and have a safe place to go. Have a plan. Have somebody, a friend, who has an extra set of pajamas for you and your children, just in case you need to flee.
Right. And you never know what God could do in that man. I mean, he could totally change around. I've seen it happen. I've seen it even happen in my own family, my extended family, where, you know, when reality was faced for the man, he realized, wait a minute, I'm about to lose everything. And so, you know, you have to do what's right for you. And it's really one of those tough issues, Kelly, because some women stay because they're told by others you have to stay. Some women have died as a result of that. And I just believe you have to do what the Lord is telling you to do. And no one can put themselves in your shoes. You know what you are living in. And first and foremost, you have to protect your life. And if you feel like you're going to die or you can't sleep in your own home because of the fear of, I may not wake up in the morning, you have to protect yourself.
That's right.
Well, Kelly, any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners before you go?
I found Jesus when I was a single mom. I was a really poor excuse for a single mom. I didn't do things well. I was an angry mom. And I just want to say that Jesus is there, whether you are in the throes of an abusive relationship or whether you're out on your own trying to make it and finding that you can't be superwoman, you can't be everything, that it doesn't really matter the specifics of your situation. Jesus is always the answer, and he is the only answer.
Amen. And he has done an amazing work in you, and now you're just blessing so many women and encouraging them and speaking to them. And so many women, when they go through abuse, they hide it. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed. I mean, even after they become Christians, they're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, people need to know they're not by themselves. And it happens. And it happens in Christian marriages and in non-Christian marriages. And sometimes, you know, it's your good friend and you don't even know what she's going through.
That's right.
And so, you know, keep your eyes open. Be a good friend to those that God entrusts you with. with. And you never know, somebody may have something to share with you. Don't be shocked, don't be surprised, but just be there for them and help comfort them. We're not here to be counselors and give advice to people, but you can certainly pray with them because God has all the answers.
Amen.
Well, Kelly, I thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You are such a blessing, and I'm telling you, she is an amazing speaker. So if your women's group, you need someone to come and bless you, you want to get Kelly Stigliano, don't forget her name. You may not can spell it, but don't forget her name. You can reach Kelly through her web address, actually, and that's www.kellystigliano.com. That's STIGLIANO. Again, that's www.kellystigliano.com. I'm going to spell it again, STIGLIANO. So contact Kelly through her website, or you can email me, of course, and let us know how this show has blessed you. And again, you need a good conference speaker, contact her through the website. Well, Kelly, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
God bless you, and thank you so much for being so transparent about your life.
Thank you.
Well, remember to email me at valconversations@yahoo.com. Again, that's valconversations@yahoo.com. Or give me a call at 904-327-7280. Again, that's 904-327-7280. Have a great day in the Lord, and remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.
You've been listening to Conversations with Val Marie. Please email us at valconversations@yahoo.com or phone 904-327-7280.